Welcome to Bits of Time, where we ask you the simple question, is this video game worth your time? But this is a little sidestep for the off-season currently. I'm one of your hosts, Michael.
And I am Larry.
And today we are talking about, can we disagree again? Larry, is it okay not to like a video game that is popular?
In real life or in social media la la land? You know, I've been thinking about this one a lot since you sent over the note for it, and there was a period of time where I thought we had gotten to a point where we just can't have difference of opinions. I feel like it's slightly going away, but you're getting to see more extreme opinions from people still. So it kind of depends on where the algorithm shows you. Because, yeah, it is really weird. You can't dislike games that are popular, or you can't dislike games that have specific social aspects to them. Because then you look like you're, you know,
whatever it is. And I do, with everything with the internet, obviously negativity breeds more clicks and everything like that. So if you're trying to be a positive person, kind of like I tend to be on the podcast, you kind of get lost in the shuffle, you know, praising the game. Immediately there's going to be somebody that hates it because that is what gets more attention.
You know, in a weird way, I feel like what you're trying to tell the listener right now is you need to treat real world conflict like the Bits of Time podcast, because me and you disagree on much.
Yeah, so that is a good example. So obviously we grew up together, we're brothers, but if you look back at our catalog, especially in season one, like I loved Bomberman Hero. You definitely did not love Bomberman Hero.
No, it's a terrible game.
I enjoyed my time with Star Fox Zero. I wouldn't recommend it to everybody, but I had fun with it. You obviously did not have
it. Was even a worse game.
Exactly. But we, you know, we're still sitting across from each other. We're still recording a podcast. Season 5 is coming up. So we can disagree with something, especially something I really like. I really like that Bomberman Hero game. The music's awesome. And it's just unique enough that it kind of fits my taste, right? Mm-hmm. It's almost like a comfort thing with the N64 as well. But we can still sit here and talk.
Yeah, I will definitely say, though, I think there is a different aspect to the disagreement that's happening here, because you're picking on parts of the game where I feel like nowadays that's not so much the issue with what's going on online. It's more creative decisions in games is where people are really nitpicking. I think a popular one was the idea of Forspoken that came out in 2023. I was thinking about that game the other day. It was an absolute just shitstorm of people either deciding this is the worst thing that's ever been released. How dare Sony release a game like this? Or, and granted, I don't think it was a Sony developed game, but they, yeah. And so it was one of those examples of a game that, because it had a lead female protagonist, there were a lot of people that defended it just because of that and on that alone. Listen, we are not against that whatsoever. Some of my favorite video games have lead female characters.
Yeah.
But I feel like we're in this really weird spot in history right now where you have to stand on your morals more than just being honest. And that's really, really frustrating.
So there's a thing. If we go back to the Bomberman Hero example, I know there's stuff wrong with that game, obviously, but I still enjoyed it. Does that make... It's a tough decision, especially when you're trying to go back and review retro games, especially in a new 2024 lens or whatever it is, whatever year you're playing those games in. I feel like, yeah, when you look at newer games, it's more about these one little aspect. If they have that, then it's good to go. It doesn't matter. Like Bomberman Hero for me had multiple little aspects that make me think it's worth your time. But I'm not standing on a hill because they did something in the story or put something in there that I truly believe in. It's not about that. I just think it's a good game.
You know, I almost kind of feel like, and I don't know if it's, I can't decide if it's the PC market that is to blame for this or the console market trying to be like the PC market that's to blame for this, but games like Bomberman Hero, Star Fox Zero, that just didn't necessarily run crazy well, we didn't really care about that back in the day, at least it felt like, because our hardware didn't have the capability. Where nowadays, God forbid you release a game that can't run at 30 FPS or 60 FPS in a certain mode, whatever you want to call that freaking mode.
Yeah.
Your game gets ripped apart. It's happening right now. This will have released by time you hear this episode. The talks around Dragon's Dogma 2 right now,
oh, 30 FPS,
are ridiculous. Like, it's, you haven't even played the game yet and you're already saying this is trash. It's just like, you can't play this on console. We didn't used to care about that. And again, I get it, maybe expectations are higher now.
Yeah,
should be. But if one of the expectations is you need to play a game and it needs to run at a certain FPS, so it needs more development time, don't be surprised when all these layoffs happen because you're having these expectations that these studios need to have these features when they just need to make money.
Yeah, I'm always stuck in with the whole FPS argument because I know games back in, like, even the GameCube era or PS2, like, they could run at 60 FPS. Like, Tales of Symphonia is a good one. And then the newest release remastered only ran at 30 FPS on certain consoles, or it might have been all the consoles. And it doesn't really make sense in my head why they would do that change or wouldn't try and get it as accurate to what it was. But the only time that I think that 60 FPS versus 30 FPS matters, one is more intense shooting games, whatever, but is when you go from a 60 FPS straight to a 30 FPS.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If I don't have them side by side, it's kind of hard to tell in the moment.
100%. Now, can I just to kind of play devil's advocate? The people who say that they can't tell a difference, I'm so sick and tired of that trash.
Yeah.
That was an argument that was made, I feel like 5-10 years ago, where you heard it all the time. There's not really, you can't tell me the difference between 60 and 30. You absolutely can. But Elden Ring was a prime example. Did you care that game was running at 30 FPS while you played? It was the freaking game of the year. Across the board, it was one of the most monumental games ever. Did anyone care? Flip side of that, look at Starfield. Everybody on planet Earth cared that it was at 30 and not 60. And so it's just like our discourse is so just, it's not even.
You don't
apply it across the board.
There's just been so much lately about games like that. So, for instance, I'm playing Final Fantasy VII Rebirth. I assume I'm not done with it by now because I'm taking my time with it. And I am playing in graphical mode. And it's the first time I've ever done it.
Really?
Like when I started it, I think they had it set in graphical. And I was like, oh, this is kind of looks weird because I could just, you know, when I'm rotating the camera, it doesn't get smooth. So then I flipped to performance. But I was like, I really want to see what this area looks like. And I kind of just set it there for a bit.
You got used to it.
And now, yeah, I'm just used to it. And I'm like, I want this game to look as pretty as I can be. And, you know, the combat still looks smooth to me. Mm-hmm. And I haven't switched it back. And that is never how I play.
You know what I so badly wish is our younger brother. Is he playing through it right now?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, we've been texting about it.
There's like a part of me that wants him to be playing on performance mode. And then you two to like sit next to each other and play.
Oh, I bet you.
And then
terrible.
Swap controllers and see what his complaints are and what your complaints are. Like, who has the bigger complaint? Is it the performance or is it, oh my gosh, those muddy graphics? How could you possibly deal with that? I wonder.
Those textures sometimes are bad in general, but I don't know. It's definitely a game by game basis for the FPS side of things. But there is this thing with new games where, yeah, if they don't have X, Y, and Z, I'm no longer going to support them, or you can't look past that part. So, mm-hmm. Another good one is Persona 3 Reload. They did not include the feminine route that you can do. And their reason was really bad. They're like, I just take too much work. It's like, hey, you're trying to remaster the old game. Why don't you just put it in there? Because they're now, with DLC, putting in the answer. I think it was called originally. And now it's called Aegis Update. I don't know what. It doesn't matter. There's some people will not buy that game because of that. And that is their right, because I agree. If you got the feature-rich version over here, which it technically wasn't. It was a nerfed version of Persona 3 because it was on the PSP and they couldn't have you walk around, right? That was just too much for the game. So, but they also added a new feminine route. But they didn't have the DLC from the...
Are you saying feminine?
Yeah.
Like okay.
The fem route.
Gotcha. All right.
Like you're...
I've heard so many people talk about it.
Yeah,
you
can pick between either a male or a female at the beginning of the game. It changes dialogues and social links and stuff like that.
Hmm.
But it didn't include on PS2 Fez version of Persona 3. It didn't include that stuff. So there's no definitive version of this game anywhere.
You know what I feel like people need to do is apply my method to some of this. I don't understand a word that you just said. And so it doesn't bug me. I don't worry about it.
Yeah,
it doesn't affect me.
But that's my thing. I feel like people that are getting so mad about these things are never going to play the game anyways.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a thing? Like, is that just like an intention sinking? You want to be part of the zeitgeist and the conversation?
I think so. I definitely have always thought it very amusing that the community that has the biggest, they're always the biggest and most up in arms people about FPS are the literal FPS players. The first person shooter players typically are the ones that are the most obsessed about the frames per second argument. And so the fact that those two have kind of bled into each other, I think a legit benefit out of all this is the fact that we have the option. you and our brother are a prime example. You're playing a video game in a version you like. He's playing a video game.
Well, I don't know if he's playing. He could be playing graphical.
Let's say he was, though. I think there's a part of me that's a little annoyed with it because there's so many times when I'm playing games, I'm like, okay, am I missing something because I'm playing in the wrong mode? And I've literally found myself in game switching it. And I'm like, here, I'll switch it to this. So I take the screenshot.
I've done that before in games.
I'm not necessarily a fan. That's a thing, but the option's there and it's kind of cool.
Yeah, we never had that on a console before. This is the first generation where we had that. Obviously, PC, you've had that for ages.
Mm-hmm.
You can tweak it how you want, which is cool that we can have the customization now.
Trust me, the PC people are aggravated that we're not at like 240 FPS at this point.
Like, give it to me now.
We're still trying to get to 60 consistently, which is just amusing because if I remember correctly, both the PS5 and Xbox Series X
that's
on marketing.
That's what they're supposed to be doing.
Now, it did say capable. I don't know if it said that was the standard.
That's a good question.
I guess
remember.
Maybe the new ones are going to be standard, but yeah, whatever.
So going back to the Zeitgeist thing, do you think that enhances or deters people from enjoying a game? So for my example, Final Fantasy 16 was very big online in the communities that I was in, and I wasn't really feeling it.
Mm-hmm.
And then there would be people that would...
You didn't like a Final Fantasy game?
Yeah. I know, that's possible. I went all the way through it, just didn't hit
me. Hey, can I actually... This is a perfect point to insert this real quick, because I literally just tweeted about it today. Did you see my tweet on Final Fantasy?
No.
Okay. Someone was talking about how both Final Fantasy VII Remake, Rebirth, and Final Fantasy 16 sales have absolutely plummeted compared to older Final Fantasies. Just let me know if you think that there's any, point to this here. I said I think the biggest thing Final Fantasy needs to do is they need to go away from the number naming convention. And the reason for it is because gamers know you don't need to play older Final Fantasies. General public sees Final Fantasy 16. And they're like, oh my gosh, do I have to play 15 games before I get to this one? I'm wondering if they need to drop that because they're losing the casual gamer.
I don't think so. Okay. I think it's more about PS5 sales in Japan aren't that big. Mm-hmm. I feel like if they made an exclusive...
It's freaking Nintendo's fault, isn't it? They're just owning Japan.
If they made a Final Fantasy for the Switch, I think it would sell more. I do think there is a decline because maybe they're not doing the things they want them to.
So Switch 3 is when they'll get Rebirth and stuff on there?
I don't know if like dropping the name would change anything. Like the next Final Fantasy, Final Fantasy 17, I think it also showed that they didn't want a totally action RPG anymore.
Mm-hmm.
They want maybe more of what 7 Rebirth is doing, but that sales are down. But sales are down for that. That is a sequel. That's always usually how it goes generally,
which
there's
is
a decline.
Which is why, speaking of which, knowing that and the fact that that's all over the place online, is there the concern that now you're going to even go into a more exclusive game with the third and final game?
I believe so. But, you know, there is a thing where maybe people are seeing the praise from 7 Rebirth and they want to go play Remake at first and then buy that when it goes on sale. So there is that. People wait. But, I don't know. I don't really know with that one exactly. But, again, I'm playing this in the zeitgeist. But I'm not talking about it to anybody because I don't want to get spoiled on what happens. Yeah. So I'm playing it right now more so I don't want to be spoiled. And I just want to play it right now because I finished Persona 3 Reload.
Back to your Final Fantasy 16 point.
Yeah, so for Final Fantasy 16, if there's people, a game you absolutely love, or you tweet or post a picture, whatever you do on whatever social media site it is, going back to that first point of when you post something negative, you get more attention. So if you see somebody with positive views of something, you're going to go attack that and be like, actually, this game sucks.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that can now deter people from enjoying a game. Like, you get that social influence, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't be liking this game because it has X, Y, and Z wrong with it. Or it's not as faithful to whatever it is.
Yeah, I feel like, though, it needs to be stated that this is a very, very small minority of people who this is a problem for.
Correct.
Because I don't think most of us, like, for instance, if I'm playing a game that I absolutely freaking love, I love when I find people who enjoy it as much as I do. If I see the negative talks, I just am like, whatever. Like, okay, I'm sorry you don't like it, but now... I guess the point is if you have a game that's crazy popular and you're playing it right away and you're not feeling it, your social, especially if you're someone on social media and your social media is everyone loving this game, I could see that turning you into a troll. Because you're like, what's wrong with all you guys? You're drinking the Kool-Aid. However, I think it does have the reverse effect when you play a game outside of the zeitgeist. Because there are times you're like, oh man, I understand why this blew up as much as it did. I'm so glad I finally got to this sort of thing. Because that's what happens to me a lot. I almost never play games when they first come out. I'm very far behind. And I think for me, it's just like if I see a game blows up, I'm like, okay, I'll maybe like once or twice a year I'll play a game when everyone else is. Otherwise, it goes into my backlog. And then when I finally get to it, I start tweeting about it. And only the people that like it react at that point, because the haters are moved on to wherever else they're at.
That's a good point, yeah.
And so I think in some weird sense, waiting to play a game, if you're someone who likes sharing what you're experiencing, is almost more beneficial, because it removes the trolls for the most part, because they have to, you know, use their energy and summon themselves to the newest game that's out.
And that, it's hard for talking to other podcasters about this, right? You want to be making stuff that's on time for content reasons. Mm-hmm. And thankfully we have our podcast really isn't related to that. So we're always far behind. I mean, I play a lot of new games when they come out, and I did last year.
You literally just talked Persona 3 and Final Fantasy.
Yeah, I'm doing it this year too. So like I do that a lot, but I feel like some people get that thing like, oh, they have moved on, or like everybody has moved on from this game. Am I wasting my time playing mm-hmm. this versus think of it the reverse, like being outside of that craziness, you just have you. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to find people that only love that game, and you can go talk to those people after it's said and done. The other lens of that is like people critiquing stuff. You're like, oh, you only like that because of nostalgia. And I go back to old games all the time, and it's not always nostalgia as well.
Yeah, it's interesting though too, because a lot of times, so I've done it specifically, and I think one of the reasons you wanted to do this episode is I've done it with the Last of Us series. Both of the games, I've 100% played at least a year after. I think Last of Us 2 is now like 3. So I just completed it. I freaking flew through it, but I completed it. And the interesting thing for me was all the nonsense about the story decisions and the character arcs and how you play it. That was all so far removed from anything that I experienced that I just got to play the game. And I didn't have to be constantly reminded at night as I'm scrolling through Twitter or whatever that, oh gosh, I'm supposed to hate it because of A, B, C, D, E, and F. Or I'm supposed to love it because of A, B, C, D, and F. And I got to just experience the game the way I wanted to see it. And I both loved and hated it for my own reasons, not for other people's opinions. And I didn't have to defend or attack people because of that. And I think in the podcast space, that's a good point that you just mentioned. We kind of have to stay up on things from time to time. And it's freaking exhausting. And so the ability to just be like, listen, tackle a game when you're ready for that. That's what we used to do when we were kids.
Yeah.
Forget about the internet for a second. You don't have to fight with all these people. You're never going to see them.
Yeah, not recess, you know?
Yeah. And trust me, you could look at me as I'm a hypocrite, because I'm absolutely at fault for that. When I see something that I want to attack, I usually go for it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter at the end of the day. You're just a avatar to somebody on the internet.
Yeah. That's a good point, because, you know, we get sucked into these bubbles online, and you find a community that you really like. Let's say it's the Final Fantasy community, and you're like, oh, I really like Rebirth. And then you're like, I didn't really vibe with 16. And then you go into that community, and you're like, whoa, what's going on here? Everybody's doing something. It's like our, you know, our old recess outside playing with kids, like, and talking trash about, oh yeah, Sega's better than Nintendo. No, what are you talking about? You know, that has evolved from that town square of us being in recess to now just so many more opinions and people, so we feel like we have to be more extreme with our opinions to get noticed, would be my guess.
I would definitely argue, and maybe people will disagree with me here. Of course they will. I actually think a really, really healthy community is go find a game, a game that you like, go find the community on Discord. The groups that are in Discord channels are so just optimistic and healthy and positive and sharing experiences, and, you know, you'll have voice chats. I think that is the version of an online community that we all have to deal with nowadays.
Which is funny, because you're putting yourself more into a bubble, right?
100%.
You're getting rid of those other people out
there.
You are,
100%. But I think that's the thing, right? For you, do you think social media has been more of a positive or negative on you as a video gamer?
I would say positive for me, because I found a lot of games I wouldn't have tried. But I do feel like, for me, trying to content push out there, I feel like it has been a deterrent. Because you're like, oh, is it worth playing this game right now because it's not in the zeitgeist? I have had it. That is the past couple of years, I've totally changed that. Like, I mm-hmm. don't use social media as much as I used to, and I don't care about, like, followers and stuff like that mm-hmm. as much. And I think that has helped me mentally, yeah. probably. But I think overall, it should be a positive, but I feel like it's kind of turned into a negative.
Have you ever had a game where you felt like social media was attacking enough that it almost changed your viewpoint on how you felt about a game?
So yeah, that's I think that's the more interesting question, because I try not to, when I'm playing through a game like for our podcast, I try not to do as much research on reviews and stuff. I'll look at Metacritic and maybe a point or two, but I don't want, because we're just sponges, right? We're just going to take that information. I can see my position on a game probably be influenced by some people out there, like some mm-hmm. bigger name in people in the YouTube space or whatever, and I don't ever want that. And I've had that with what game was it? Final Fantasy VIII, I think.
Okay.
Like, I love that game. It's one of my favorites. And I know the criticisms of it, but I also know what I love about it. It does really well. And I've gone back and forth like, oh, do I actually like this game? Or I've recently listened to a Pixel Project Radio. They did a Final Fantasy IX episode. I was like, I really want to play this game again. And yeah. so that's the positive, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's influencing me to go play it again. Maybe it's not influencing my opinion on it.
I feel like Final Fantasy X has a lot of that. Because there is a lot of people who absolutely... I truly think that low-key is a lot of people's favorite Final Fantasy X, but there's a lot of people who don't want to admit it. Because you have a lot of big name popular voices on social media who are like, no, this is not the best. The best is six, or, you know,
six or seven. I feel yeah. like if you don't, those aren't in your top three, you're mm-hmm. like, you're
not
bad.
A Final Fantasy fan.
You're yeah. not a Final Fantasy. That's another thing I hate.
Yeah. You know, a game that happened to me was Bioshock Infinite.
Okay.
I absolutely loved my playthrough of Bioshock Infinite. Go talk to people online. It's the worst in the series.
They don't like that game.
And I can't tell you how many times over the last couple of years I've been like, was I wrong? Like, is my thought, and I've actually had that thought with myself where I'm like, and so I haven't gone back and played it. So I may eventually have to tackle that one again just to kind of see, like, what did I miss? I understand there is some story stuff that I wasn't a big fan of, but I thought the experience as a whole was freaking phenomenal. And I was in awe most of the time I was playing that game. And yet, people hate it. And
yeah, you worry. So it's funny that you said that perception, like, what did I miss?
Mm-hmm.
Where it doesn't really matter. You like it whether yeah. you like it or not.
Which, right? Okay. That's such a good point. I'm already trying to put in my head that I did something wrong.
Right?
Which, that is a really strange spot to be in because of social media. And it's like, dude, just ignore social media. I enjoyed the game. Who the freak cares? Why am I second guessing it?
Yeah.
But it's happened to me a lot.
So if you're in that example, like I'm in with Final Fantasy 16, it's the opposite, right? So if somebody's like, oh, you didn't enjoy that? Like, no. Be like, and then if they try and be like, oh, it's just not for me or something, or that vice versa, you're like, I really like that game. Like, oh, I hate that game. It's like, well, hopefully the next game you play, you like. You know, something simple. You don't have to, like, attack them for disliking or liking something. You can just mm-hmm. be like, yeah, if you want to dive in a little bit deeper, like we do on our podcast, figure out why you didn't finish a game, why I saw the end of it, that's different. But if it's some random, like, if you go up to a random stranger, or maybe not random, you're at a restaurant, at a bar.
I mean, most by just.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, they're probably random.
They are, like, random.
People outside your sphere, but you're out hanging out with people and you're talking about games, you can be a little bit more, what's the word I want? I don't know what the word I want. You can go deeper if you want
yeah.
to. But these people online, they're probably just trolling you, or they're probably just wanting to see their view as mightier than yours. You can debate and argue it if you want to, but I would say just move on.
I mean, this is the most obvious statement I think I've made in a long time, but the people who troll online wouldn't do what they do in person. And yeah. mostly because they don't go out in person. They're just in their rooms being a troll. But, like, that's the thing at the end of the day, is you don't have to have an opinion, or you don't have to share your opinion all the time. People are allowed to have different opinions. If you think, and I'm trying to get better at doing this. If someone says something that I vehemently disagree with, I don't have to let them know that, because I don't know them in real life.
That's true.
And so it's like, obviously, if I'm out at a bar or restaurant, we're out and about doing stuff and someone says something, yeah, I'm probably going to talk to them and be like, okay, what got you to that point? And we can have a discussion then. I love that. Social media eliminates the rapport building that typically happens. And so people just say stuff just to dunk on you or just to get likes and clicks, like you said at the beginning of this. And I think that's the negative part. It's obvious, but that's it.
Yeah, and also the fact that you can't read tone and intonation and stuff like mm-hmm. that, where if you're next to somebody, you can read their facial expressions, their nonverbals, and be able to deduce, like, are they just trying to get a rise out of me, or can I actually have a reasonable conversation with this person?
Yeah, and so I think that's why my thing is, I think where social media works so well is discoverability. I 100% agree with you on that. I do think the fan base, the corners of the internet that have been places like Discord channels, there's Reddit, which be careful with Reddit though.
YouTube like, itself can be that.
There are 100%. Those are communities. You have people you follow that have similar likes to you. And I think those are benefits that we would have loved to have happened when we were younger and we were kids, because you found people who were like-minded like you in much larger quantity. The problem is that's only if it was good. There's so much negativity with it that when we were kids, we talked with our friends and family about our stuff that we loved. We didn't need to like share the love to like millions of people who we don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point.
And I think that's the reality that we need to tweak that a little bit in the coming years, I think.
And, you know, there's an interesting portion of growing up before the internet that we had experienced.
We're old.
Yeah, we are old. But I think about who introduced me to Final Fantasy VII was my friend Jason at the time. And
is he not Jason anymore?
No, like at the time, he showed it to me. And then I remember I got the demo disc for Final Fantasy VIII, and he hated it, and I loved it. And I was like, oh, okay, but I'm still going to go to him for my Final Fantasy stuff. But then, like, my buddies, Jared and Wade and David and I have a connection with Final Fantasy as well, but I would go to them for the Halos, you know, the mm-hmm. first-person shooters, the party games, that kind of stuff. So you wouldn't go to somebody else. I wouldn't go to Jason to talk about Halo.
Yes.
I had another friend for that. Yep. And that's okay. You know, when I was growing up, it was you guys I was playing Donkey Kong Country with and Super Mario with, mainly just myself. For the most part. I would find the people that love those things. Like playing Super Mario 64, it was like the first time playing that was like one of the best memories of my life. And that was us three brothers playing that together.
You know,
in the basement.
You know, I feel like the perfect analogy is like, so this is the internet. The internet is you screaming to Jason about Halo, but it's also, so the negative part.
Okay,
of
gotcha.
It. And then the internet is also you talking to Jason about Final Fantasy VII. And then you talking to Wade, David, Jared about Halo. And so it's like you literally have the good and the bad in real life, but you got real life feedback. Where on the internet, you don't always get that feedback.
No.
And so I think that's the problem. And that's like the clear-cut difference between the two, which is why it's so much healthier to do this in smaller communities, which you can find on the internet, which is a good thing.
Best, more modern example, my buddy, who I'm still friends with today, one of my best friends that I met in college through my chemistry class. Yeah. We bonded over Dark Souls. He was randomly wearing a Portal shirt, I think, when I first
Heck
met him.
Yes.
And then we just started talking.
Portal 3, come on.
So when we play games, I'm playing Dark Souls. We played through Dark Souls, or Demon Souls, Dark Souls 1 through 3. We play all those games together. He basically never played any Nintendo games, for mm-hmm. the most part. He brought over one New Year's, the Rabbids game for the Wii. That was fun. But he didn't have the same experiences of me growing up with a Nintendo console. So I don't go to him and talk about the Mario games, the Zelda, or anything like that. Even though I think he did play Breath of the Wild. I can't remember. He's a modern friend, we'll call him, mm-hmm. right? And so I have him later in life, and I just don't talk to him about this whole entire section of gaming because mm-hmm. we have specific games we play. Like, we've recently been playing Helldivers 2.
You have filtered him.
Yeah, filtered.
From the Nintendo stuff.
Yeah. I don't need to talk to him about those because we have plenty of other games to play.
Yeah, 100%.
And so it's interesting how that works, and it's okay, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to, every friend you have or every person you meet online doesn't have to love the same things you do.
And I think the problem that me and you have having this discussion is trying to think about this from the aspect as if we were 11, 12 years old right now. And trying to be like, here's the games you like. How do you find, especially if you don't have people around you who like those games, where do you go? Well, you have to first go online before you discover there's the unique communities of places you like. But the problem is you're going to see all the negativity in the process of getting to that. And so that's where I feel like so many of us could be better. And the problem is I think most people love talking about video games that are online, that are in that space. It's just we have the trolls who need attention. Or You just need to have the one opinion that's going to get people to talk. And I think that has, that's damaged online discourse so ungodly that I don't know if we ever get back from that.
Yeah, I don't.
Especially now that you make money for opinions like that.
I don't think it'll ever go back. And yeah. I think what we will do is be more like a Discord. Like you, that you funnel your vision into that. You find, surround yourself with people that love those things. So if you're a kid nowadays, a game you love, you go find that community. And maybe in that community, be like, hey, I like this game. Is there games similar to this? And then hopefully they will recommend you something you like and you don't like.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, right now, not like I said, like I'm about to say, the Balatro community. Holy crap, is it fun? Because they all share it. Because you can share seeds of the runs that you did. So then someone else can play it to try and beat you.
Oh, that's fun.
That it's nothing but positivity in that community. And that's what you need. Whatever your addicting game is right now, finding a community of people who are also addicted to it or really like it and enjoy it. There's nothing more refreshing than talking to people who love seeing the things that you're sharing and expressing their love for something as well. Mainline internet, you're not going to get that.
You might.
You'll find the
sprinkles of it.
You'll find the occasional people, but then quickly filter out the rest.
Yeah, and I think, you know, have that positive lens. But that doesn't mean you just shut off your negative criticisms or anything like that. You can take criticism, and how you know it's an okay one is if they attack you as a person for liking something, just ignore them.
Mm-hmm. That's actually, you know what? That's a really good way of looking at that, too. If you give an opinion and they attack you instead of the opinion, your opinion is probably pretty good.
I mean, it could still be bad. I mean, opinion's opinion, but you know that that person's not worth the time of day.
Mm-hmm.
But you, fellow listener, are worth some time. And if you want to give us even more a bit of your time, check out our back catalog of many a games that you may or may not agree with our opinions on. Because that's life right there, as you learned. Bye.